Welcome to Parenting with Sisu, the podcast with an international perspective on family life in Finland.
I'm here today with Ville and Peter. Hi, you two, and welcome to Parenting with Sisu podcast. It is very exciting to talk with you guys and get your perspective on all the things that we have covered in some of our previous episodes, focusing on moms.
Thanks, Eleonora. Nice to be here.
Yes, it's good to be here also.
Yeah, maybe you can, for the start, you can introduce yourselves a little bit, where you're from and who is kind of part of your family.
Yeah, sure. I'm Peter. I'm originally from the UK. I've been in Finland for 4 years now. We have two boys. My oldest is 3 years old. My youngest is 6 months old. And yeah, I came to Finland because I met my wife and she was living here at the time. So it was easier for me just to move here.
Yeah. That's great. I think that's a quite common story for a lot of expats. Same for me.
Most definitely. Yes, most definitely. Love brings people to Finland.
Hey, everybody. My name is Ville. So as you can see from the name, I'm pretty Finnish. And so been living here in Finland almost all my life, except few years that I was abroad and married to a wonderful French lady, my wife, and we have now one boy that is a bit less than 2 years old, and another boy on his way, maybe within 1 week or two. So that's my family.
That's exciting that you're having a little baby soon. And really a fun fact that we all have boys here. So yeah. It's going to be a fun talk when it comes to parenting. How about for you, Ville, because you mentioned your wife is French. I assume you have a lot of friends here that have Finnish wives and kind of, let's say, only Finnish families. Do you feel some kind of difference when it comes to your everyday life? Or?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think definitely after I met Marina, she moved here some 10 years ago, moved to Finland. So I can say that for sure I have now much more international friends here in Finland as well than I would have probably otherwise have. And, you know, Marina obviously, you know, she has also Finnish friends, but it's also very easy to meet other, you know, international people when you are yourself kind of like coming to a new country. So in that way, like you said, that, you know, currently we have so many fantastic friends that, you know, usually one of the couple is a Finn and then the other one is from somewhere else. And I think it's been really, really like enriching my life as well. So I'm really, really happy about that.
That's really wonderful to hear. And what about you, Peter? Because you're kind of the expat here, but also your wife is not Finnish. So how is it for you guys regarding also maybe the support that you have here? Because I assume your families are not living in Finland. So how is it for you? Does it feel odd to be living here? Would you want to move rather somewhere where your family is or your wife's family? Or?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Yeah, my wife is very international, you could say. She was born in Ghana, but she moved to Italy when she was like 7 years old and she lived there until 8 years ago when she moved to Finland. Yeah, so we come from very different backgrounds. It's very difficult, I guess, when you're both foreigners. You can kind of feel a bit more isolated, I guess, and it is difficult to integrate fully, I guess. But we have lots of international friends, a bit the same. So we just try to make friends and we try to just integrate as best we can.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting, and it's quite nice to hear so kind of two different, totally different stories from the two of you, also from the point of view of being kind of at home here in Finland and for you guys not totally yet at home maybe. Okay, so the first thing that came to my mind is actually to talk about pregnancy. As you're the dads, so how was that finding out about the pregnancy? And was it any different with the second pregnancy as you both have two babies or almost two.
Well, if I go first, the first emotion was happiness, because actually both times we were really hoping for the pregnancy. So that's why the happiness was the number one feeling, of course. I have to say that I was also, with Oscar, our first boy, I was also a bit relieved in a way that, you know, at least I could, you know, we could see that, hey, we don't seem to have any problems in you know, having a kid, because so many people have some issues, unfortunately. At least I know quite a few people that have not, it's not been a walk in the park necessarily to get the pregnant then or go through the pregnancy without issues. So that was another emotion that came to mind.
That's a really interesting point, actually. So I can only compare it to myself, of course. For me, the feelings were happiness, of course, but then straight away fear. Fear of mostly, oh my God, how am I going to do this? And what is kind of in front of me? So it's really interesting to hear kind of from the other side. What about for you, Peter?
Yeah, for me, pretty much the same, I guess. We were newly married. Although the first pregnancy wasn't planned, of course, we were very excited about it, but also very apprehensive, because we know a lot of things can go wrong and things like this. So and we did have some problems, which I think we're going to touch on later. But so I was very excited. We were both very excited, but apprehensive because we're in a foreign country and we didn't know the system so well when it comes to that point of view. So, yeah. Yeah, that was difficult dealing with the medical side, I guess.
Mm. Well, that's actually exactly the reason why we started this podcast with my friends, Rabe and Katja, because we wanted to help expat parents in Finland to kind of get more information about these things from one single kind of place. Because it's very, even, for example, all of us have Finnish husbands, so we kind of have that help, but still you don't get to know everything. And it's really hard to find some things maybe get some help. I'm really glad to kind of hear that these kind of things are needed, even though it would be, of course, nicer if it wouldn't be like that. But we all know that it is. And if you think more about the pregnancy itself, how it went for your wives. So how was the expectations versus reality? We've all heard like stories, of course, online or from friends that the pregnant moms go crazy and that they're crying and super emotional, and including myself, I did the same thing. My husband has videos of me laying on the floor and crying for no good reason. So it would be really nice to hear kind of from your side, how did you perceive this, and was it really that bad, or was it how was it for the two of you? Peter, if you want to start.
Yeah, sure. Similar to what you just said there, I had the same expectations of my wife being hormonal and her hormones being everywhere, crying one minute, maybe being angry the next minute. They were all expectations that I had learned growing up or seen in the movies and things like this. But we didn't really experience that much, really. My wife was quite calm and stable all the way through. Of course, she had a few bad days, but nothing major that really shattered my expectations or that really confused me or things like that. Yeah.
And what about you, Villa?
Well, with us, I think that the pregnancies have been going really well. The first one, of course, already history bad, but this second boy also seems to be growing well, and we haven't had any major problems. Marine's been in a great condition, I think, and so I think we've been quite lucky in that way. And I didn't really have a lot of expectations into that period, so hard to compare if it's been going, you know, better or worse. But of course, now during the second pregnancy, she's been a bit more tired. I think that's I would think it's pretty common with the second one, because you don't get the rest as much because you have the first one already to, you know, take care of. And during the first pregnancy, we were, you know, following the growth of the baby, you know, with some baby apps, you know, almost every day, and you know, thinking, okay, now it's a little blueberry, and now it's like a pear or whatever, you know, size wise.
Yeah.
And now during the second baby, sometimes weeks pass, and then we're like, oh yeah, you were pregnant. So it's like, so it's a little bit different, maybe. But not to say that we wouldn't be excited. We are very excited, but it's a little bit different experience in that way. The second one, now that we are very busy, you know, taking care of the first one, and yeah, so there are maybe some reflections.
Yeah, it's really funny, because I think for the majority of second time parents, or kind of not first time parents, it's like that you kind of forget as a mom, that you forget that you're pregnant. It happened to me so many times. And when it comes to kind of being tired, if I compare first and second pregnancy, the last month of the first pregnancy, I had to go on maternity leave. And I was so pissed, because I was like, okay, I don't want to just lay on the sofa. And then with the second pregnancy, I would have loved to just sit on the sofa the whole day. And I did not. But yeah, I think it's for all the moms, and then also the dads, of course, the same. And what about when it comes to something that the majority of moms do before the baby is born, is the nesting period. We talked about it during our other pregnancy kind of episode, and a lot of moms have that. And when they prepare kind of the home, and maybe buy a lot of clothes, buy like bed and everything, and prepare kind of the home for the baby to arrive. Did you have any feeling like that, or how did it feel? Did your wife also do it? And if she did, did you have the feeling that you have to kind of prepare the home as well, or does that kind of pass by the dads?
I have to admit that Marine has been the sourcing manager for almost all of the baby supplies that we have, and I'm super grateful for that. It's not because I wouldn't be interested in doing it, but I feel that she's all the time, you know, step ahead of me and thinking a little bit further than me. And But during the first pregnancy, we were checking together some, you know, baby clothes. We bought almost everything secondhand. And that was quite fun, actually. But we didn't get it crazy, I'd say. We didn't like paint the room in any new color, or get any fancy wallpapers, or you know, a lot of stuff in advance. So we were kind of low key with that. You know, the Gela box, of course, is a great thing to have. You know, you get already a lot of necessary stuff from there. We even used it for his bed for the first month or two.
Oh, you did?
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think really little people do that, actually.
Yeah, but then we got a creep after that. But we had actually, it was pretty cool. We got from our good friends this kind of like self-made frame for it, which had like legs as well, so you know, and some kind of like canvas on top, you know, and it was actually looking like a real bed, but it was made from Gela box. So
wow.
It was really, really nice. Yeah,
that's actually a quite cool idea with the frame. For me, the reason kind of why the Gela box was impractical to use it as a bed, because it was so low, so why would I put baby on the floor? Kind of, it's impractical to always take it like out and in and out. So this is actually quite a cool idea.
Yeah, it could be a good business idea. Somebody should.
Yeah. And what about for you, Peter?
From my background, from the part of the UK I'm from, it tend to mainly be like the women that did the nesting, and that was just expected. But I found myself wanting to like do, I guess you could say, the manly part, putting all the crib together and putting the furniture together and things like this. But we waited quite late, I think, into the pregnancy, because my wife had some problems during the pregnancy, so we didn't buy anything until virtually the last moment, really, until we had to buy it, if you like. And it was a bit of a rush for me to put everything together and things like that. But yeah, it's the thing we could do in that situation at that time. Yeah, so I didn't feel the urge to nest as such, but I thought it was expected of me to put like the bed and things together and things like that.
Yeah, that's something like you see in the movies.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
What about the whole kind of pregnancy, if you think about it, the whole 9 months, or as long as the pregnancy lasted, did you feel somehow that you can't do much at that point? How did it feel to kind of be helpless? Because all the work, or let's say work, was done by your wife. So how was it to kind of be just a bystander in this and not to feel as much as the mom feels with the baby and everything? How does it feel?
It felt very unusual and detached, because you could see all these changes happening in my wife's body and pain. For instance, my wife ended up in hospital quite early on in the pregnancy because of some complications. And to see that happen, it's not the normal thing that you expect during the pregnancy. So I felt like really bad that she was going through all that, and that I couldn't do anything to help to take the pain away or to try and make the situation a bit better. So that was very, very difficult, I think, for a man to deal with, because you're just helpless. You're completely helpless, you know, when your wife's pregnant, you can't do anything.
Yeah, I had many days during my pregnancies where I was thinking, why can't men be pregnant? Why do I have to do this all the time? Why can't you feel now the pain that I'm feeling? I had it a few times, and I still find it totally unfair what nature did, but well, it's out of our hands. But what about for you, Ville?
So during the pregnancy, I feel that I was, you know, able to help a little bit by making sure that she gets enough rest when needed, for example, you know, whether it's, you know, running more errands or taking up, you know, more household tasks. So I guess that was kind of helping a bit. Of course, it was very cool. You know, we started to see the kicks, it starts to kind of get more real in a way for a man as well, because before that we don't feel anything. Talking about the labor, I guess man can only be there, you know, next to the superstar who is actually delivering there. So indeed, there is not too much we can do.
Yeah, it's true. And when you mentioned now giving birth, did you go through some kind of preparation courses, birth preparation courses with your partner, or did you decide to just do it, let's say, spontaneously as it comes?
Yeah, we were living in Hong Kong during that year still, when we were expecting the first, and we did a birth preparation course there. And yeah, I wanted to know if there is, you know, something to know, how could I support better or do something. But ultimately, I'm not sure how much that course helped or how much I would remember when the you know, due date comes. But it was part of the journey, I guess, to get a little bit like some advice at least.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear, because in Finland there isn't really birth preparation courses. There is, but they're not the ones how you see them in the movies, where you prepare to push as a woman and the man holds your hand or massages your back and things like that. Here it's more of a slideshow. I don't know, did you go to the Finnish preparation course, Peter?
No, unfortunately, we didn't get the chance for the first pregnancy, and the second pregnancy, COVID was happening, so we didn't get the chance to go to an actual birth preparation class. But kind of similar, we watched some videos on YouTube, read some books, and just tried to prepare ourselves that way, talk to friends who had children. And we tried to make the best of the situation that was in front of us at the time. And I think it helped a lot to watch some videos on YouTube of things you can do to help your partner in the labor suite, and also watch some reactions. Sometimes the pregnant woman can be a bit hysterical during the pregnancy, and not to be too shocked if she starts saying some not so nice words and things like this. It's just the pregnancy and maybe the medication and things like this.
I always thought I would be the one that would be cursing and yelling at my partner, but I actually didn't, or not as much as I would expect myself to. So it was like a positive surprise, at least for me. For you, Peter, you mentioned already now a couple of times that your wife had some problems during pregnancy, and your story is a bit different, I think, than the usual giving birth story at 40 weeks. Do you want to share that a little bit?
My wife, she went for her like 19-week or 20-week checkup, I think it was, and they seen some problems that could have been a potential life-threatening, I guess, in the womb at that time. They advised maybe it would be best to terminate the pregnancy, but we didn't want to do that, so we continued. And I think my wife was like 21 weeks pregnant, and she was diagnosed with a condition called preeclampsia, which affects pregnant women. Maybe you know about it. I'm sure you probably...
Yes, we actually just had an episode come out about preeclampsia, or like pregnancy poisoning. Yes.
Yeah. So unfortunately, she had the quite severe form that affects the women in the early stages of pregnancy. It doesn't normally affect the women until the latter part of the pregnancy. So from 21 weeks gestation, she was kept in the hospital. She was very bad. Some days she was like, she was virtually unconscious. Lots of pain, of course. But fortunately, they were able to manage all of these things that were happening until 28 weeks gestation. And then at that point, there were so many complications with my wife and also the baby in the womb that they had to deliver the baby at 28 weeks gestation, obviously by emergency cesarean. So, yeah, the baby was born, very low birth weight, 680 grams. Yeah, we spent like maybe 3 months in intensive care with the baby. He had lots of problems initially. He had to have about 4 or 5 operations. But yeah, he pulled through, and you wouldn't even be able to guess if you looked at him now that he was born so early and he had all these problems. It's amazing, really. Very amazing.
That's really a touching story, and I'm really happy that he's like healthy and with you guys.
It's amazing. Very amazing.
Yeah. It's also really, I think it's really important to hear these kind of stories as well, because I think there is really little talk about pregnancies that go that have severe issues and that maybe end with that kind of early deliveries and so on. And it's also good to have some kind of positive stories for, because there is a lot of parents out there who maybe have similar issues or have the same problems. So it's always good that somebody went through it and that it all was fine. So thank you for sharing this.
No problem.
Okay, and the next topic I wanted to ask you about is actually postpartum. So postpartum is usually what we talk about with moms, postpartum depression, how you feel, do you have baby blues and so on. But there is really a lot of scientific research recently being done on that there is also a lot of postpartum depression and postpartum issues for dads. What about for you too, Ville, maybe you want to start. Did you feel different, but maybe in a more negative way after the baby arrived? Did you have some kind of, I don't want to say mental problems, but you know, some kind of thoughts that you wouldn't normally have? And did you feel like yourself, or did you kind of feel also that there was some changes on you as well?
Yeah, I actually did not have any of that. So in lucky that way. I have been feeling really good all the time, really normal. I don't have much to elaborate on that one.
No worries. It's always good to hear that people are feeling well, of course.
Yeah.
Maybe you can comment. What do you think? Has your family gotten enough support in this postpartum phase, so in the first few weeks and first few months after your son was born? Was there enough kind of like also help with the mental state of mind, not just the physical, if there was a need for it?
Yeah. You know, we all know that this neuvola system in Finland is pretty good. The fact that they come right after the birth, at least there, that time was before COVID. So they come home and see us here and talk to us, and we get, that's the opportunity to ask questions, if any. But we've been quite lucky. All those neuvola visits are, you know, pretty quick. And there is, you know, just the measures and, okay, everything's going well, eating well, sleeping well. Yeah. And see you next time. So in that way, it's been going really, really easily. One nice support that was available from Helsinki City was subsidized nanny service that we used a few times when I was already working, and Marin was with our son, and he was totally bad sleeper. You know, like we did not get lucky with that one. So, you know, just to that kind of service is available to, you know, they take the bed for a stroll for a few hours And during that time, you know, mom gets a bit more sleep. For example, when I was working, so I couldn't take care of Oscar. So that was something that came to mind. That was very nice.
Yes, I think that's a really great thing that the city offers, and it's really doable for everybody. It doesn't matter that much on the income. If you have a lower income, you also have to pay much less or nothing for that service, which I think is really amazing to have. What about for you, Peter? You had a different experience with the birth and everything, so I assume there was a lot of much more stress involved than let's say in the usual time after the delivery in the first months.
Yeah, sure. You're correct. There was lots of stress. Of course, we spent a lot of time in the ICU that I touched on before. The Finnish system, I thought, was very good when it came to the situation in the ICU, for instance. Although I didn't think I was experiencing any postpartum depression or anything like this, they were always looking out for it because they used to have like a weekly fathers meeting of all the fathers whose children were in the ICU at that time. And I didn't go for the first few times because my Finnish is like zero. I don't speak any Finnish. And then one of the doctors or the, I don't know what his position was, but he came to see me and he was like, look, it's okay, you can come, and I'll ask them if they can speak English, if they can speak English for this time. And that was very humbling to me, I must admit, to be in a foreign country and all these fathers to be speaking in a language that isn't their native tongue. It was very humbling, and we had a discussion maybe for a few hours in that room, and we all shared our experiences. And I think this really helped because it was a very highly stressful situation. All the fathers were in different positions, of course, different things with their babies and stuff. And this helped a great deal, but also there was a provision to speak to a psychologist, which me and my wife used a few times because of the situation we were in. And that also helped a big, big deal. It helped a lot. And I think if anyone is in that situation, I think you have to talk. It's the only way that you can deal with the situation. And it can be, especially from where I come from, it's a manly thing just to keep everything inside and not speak about these type of problems, what you're facing. Mm. But it's very important just to get it out and speak to the people that are willing to listen to you at that time. Yeah.
This is really amazing. I did not know about this, and I think it's really great that they offer the services. And I also think it would be really amazing if they would offer these type of services also after very stressful deliveries or very traumatic deliveries for the parents, because I know some people that went through it and afterwards there wasn't really any support like that directly from the hospital, which I think would be really, really amazing. Of course, it's not a stressful situation as you were in, but still for at the time being for the other people, it was very stressful and traumatic. So I think it would actually be really beneficial if they already have something like this. But nevertheless, this is really great. And what you mentioned there, that men are supposed to kind of keep it in, that's why I also wanted to talk about this topic, because I think, first of all, a lot of people don't even think that dads can have any kind of postpartum mental problems like depression or anxiety or maybe some traumatic experience that happened during the birth. People usually just focus on the mom. So I think it's really important here to also make people aware of this, that dads have feelings too, and that it's totally fine to show them. And I think it's really important to show them. And like you said, I think it's really, really important to talk about it. Even though the more stressful situation it is, it's probably the more difficult it gets to talk about it. But at the same time, the more important it is to kind of get it out of the system and get some external help and input from somebody else. What about the first weeks or the first months at home then with the baby? How did it feel for you when you came home from the hospital? Were you scared? Of course, you were excited, happy, that I know. But I want to hear from the other side, kind of what were the overwhelming things, the things that you feared most or were most uncomfortable doing?
It was a mess. After the first 2 weeks, after the first baby, it was a mess. I mean, thank God we had actually, my wife's mom was visiting us during those weeks. So we actually were getting the extra pair of hands to, you know, make some food for us. And afterwards, when I think about it, I don't even know why we were so all over the place, but it was very crazy time. That is what I remember.
Yeah, I think we all have a very similar experience in that. And it's really funny that you mentioned this, that now when you look back, you don't know what you were doing. And I have the same feeling. Exactly. I don't know what we were doing the whole day. Yeah, there isn't exactly. really that much that you have to do really with the newborn. But once you've experienced it, but before, when it's the first time, I think, yeah, you just stress about every single second and every single thing that happens for the first time. So yeah, that's a tough one. I can remember how horrible for me it was to change diapers. I never changed a diaper before our son was born. I barely held a baby before our son was born ever in my life. So I was so scared. I was so scared to like hold him and change the diaper. And I can remember watching in the hospital, the nurse like wash his bum under the sink. And I was just like, oh my God, he's going to slip and fall and die and stuff like that. And I was so scared of doing it. And now I'm just laughing at myself, you know, with the second one, when he was born, I was just like, yeah, twisting the baby in there and it's all good. But yeah, I'm never going to forget that. What about for you, Peter? For you, probably, as you mentioned, you spent quite a long time in the hospital. How was it then, the feeling to finally be home?
It was amazing. It was like so many emotions all rolled into one, really. I remember the day that they said that we could go home. My wife was so excited. She was getting the car seat into the room in the hospital before they even had written the discharge papers. She was like, let's get the baby in there, because if they change their mind. So she was getting the baby in the car seat and we were waiting for the discharge papers. And as soon as we received them discharge papers, so we were in the car so fast that you couldn't see us for like the smoke. It was amazing, really. And of course, when we got home, the feeling after maybe the 2 days or so, the feeling changed to one of like, you know, we were so worried about something that might happen because he was so small. But then with the second child, it was like everything went fine and the pregnancy was fine, the birth was fine. And that was a completely different situation. We thought, wow, now we can really like enjoy a pregnancy and enjoy time with a baby, because with the first one, it was so stressful. We couldn't really enjoy it as such. So with the second one, it was amazing just to be able to enjoy everything without worrying about so many things, I guess.
Yeah, it's really great and really lucky for you that you got to enjoy also with your second one, kind of like a normal pregnancy and the more average thing that usually happens with the delivery and then coming home. It's really great. And what about if you think overall about being a father in Finland? I mean, both of you have not lived abroad while being a father or becoming a father abroad. So you have only experience here from Finland, but maybe from some friends from abroad or so, or from back home for you, Peter, do you think that there is a big difference? Do you think that being a father in Finland, what you get also all the allowances and everything, but also like on the more side of society, how everything is seen, is there big differences or is it quite similar?
There's a big difference back home in the UK, especially the part that I'm from. The fathers are like expected not to be so involved with the baby and maybe just go to work, come back and things like this. In Finland, of course, I'm not that way, but in Finland, it's completely different. There's more emphasis put on the fathers having an active role in the child and taking them to the daycare and helping them with their homework and things like this. So that is a huge difference when I came to Finland, that the father is encouraged as much as possible to have an active role in the child's life, where in the UK it's not so much. Maybe it's changing now, but when I was growing up, it wasn't like that in the UK. And when it comes to like the benefits, they're completely different also. I couldn't believe how long of a time I had off with my child, the first child here in Finland. I was amazed because, believe it or not, my wife went back to finish her studies quite quick after the pregnancy. So I spent maybe about 9 months, I think, off with the child, getting paid for this. And I thought that was amazing. That back home, you would never get that back home in the UK. Maybe 2 weeks maximum pay to be off with your child. That was a good opportunity to bond with the child, get to know the child and really enjoy every moment from the child. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool that you know, here in Finland, the dads can also take pretty long periods and you know, the parental leave can be shared. So that's really cool. And I was thinking that, you know, often if I take, you know, I go to a park with Oscar to play, sometimes I see only dads there with the kids. I'm like, wait a minute, where are the moms? So
that's usually Saturday mornings. I've noticed that myself. Saturday mornings is just the dads with the kids on the playground.
Yeah. It seems that the ladies can hear, like, they also can, like, they can say that, okay, you guys, you go out, now it's my me time.
Yes, exactly. But the one thing that I wanted to mention here, because you both mentioned the parental leave and how amazing it is because it's so long, they're actually trying to set up now a new law that would go into place starting in September, I think, or August 2022, where both the mom and the dad would get 6 months of maternity / paternity leave, which would be fully paid. Yeah, that's something that they're, and I really hope it goes through because it would be amazing. It still would be possible to kind of swap the time. So it could be possible that only the mom is at home if she would want to, but I think it would give a huge possibility for the dads to stay at home for a longer time. Because like you mentioned, I think it's really, if you compare 1 or 2 months, like some dads stay at home, to 6 months or 9 months or a year, it's nothing in comparison. And I think it's really like the longer periods that really show you what being alone at home with the kid is like, and also the bonding, like, let's say from that side, but also from the side where you bond so amazingly with the children, that is a totally different level of bonding and totally different type of kind of providing and being there with the child than the usual. As one last thing that I wanted to ask you to do, what would you say to a new dad or soon to be dad? What would be kind of the maybe things that you would have wanted to hear before you had your babies? It's a really hard question, I know.
Yeah. Well, something that I was told, and what I could say further, which is true, that it gets better after the first 3 to 6 months. when the baby starts to get some routines, life gets a bit easier in that way, you know. When the baby starts to smile, you know, you get more power. life seems much better already. And one thing that was a game changer for us, it was around 6 months when, you know, Oscar was sleeping so badly, still during the nights, waking up so many times, you know, it's super tough. So in that case, if a kid is a bad sleeper, I would really strongly recommend to do the sleep school. We did it, and in just one night, he basically got over it and learned to sleep. And, you know, we actually did it so that my wife was thinking that she can't handle, you know, that, to hear the baby cry for hours. So she decided to go sleep overnight at her friend's, and I was here with Oscar alone, and I was prepared mentally that I'm going through it, and he can cry, he will definitely pass out at some point, and then life will be better. It was crazy that the night after that, I was still expecting that, okay, maybe half of that time he will be crying, but he slept the whole night through. So I felt amazing at that moment. So maybe that's something that I can advise for people to at least consider, because sleeping is just so important.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And just one comment on the sleep training and that you had to do it. We had the opposite problem, that my husband, I had to literally push him back into bed and say, like, don't you dare get up and go to the baby. Because he was the one who was super, let's say, sensitive towards the crying. And I was thinking, like, you, okay, we're going to do this for one night or two nights or three nights, and then it's going to get better and it's going to be fine. And he was there like, no, but he's crying, I have to get up. And I was just like, shut up and stay in bed. I can still remember that. And it was very funny, because at the time we were still living in our old flat, and the baby was in our room. So we went to sleep on the sofa, both of us. So I can remember him having the room and us two being there on the sofa, and him every time and then saying, no, I have to get up now. How long has it been? We have to go there. But yeah, that's just a fun story, that it can be other way around as well. What about for you, Peter? Do you have some some tips or just something that you would want to say to dads that are soon, or dads that are newly dads or soon to be dads?
One thing I could say is, well, not maybe when they're a baby, but when they get a bit older, is resist the temptation to let them sleep in your bed. our oldest boy, when he was about one, maybe, we started letting him sleep in our bed, and very difficult to get him out. We did it, but it was very difficult. So resist that temptation, even though you're so tired that you think, oh, they can just sleep here tonight, because it's very hard to get them out once they're in that routine. That's what we found anyway. So with the second child, we're not going to make that same mistake, if you like.
Yes, it's definitely a good tip. And I think it comes also back to every routine that you make with your child. It's really hard to get kids into a routine, but it's really hard, even harder, to get them out of the routine. So I would also say, don't get your kid into any routine that you don't want to do for the next years, because it's going to be 10 times harder.
Yeah, most definitely. Very hard, very difficult, and a lot of sleepless nights and things like that. But yeah, don't do it if you can help it.
But thank you so much for both of you. This was, I think, a really, really fun talk. And I think it's going to be really interesting for our listeners to hear this side of the parenting story. I'm really thankful for the both of you that you shared all the private details from your family's lives. And I hope you had fun as well.
Yeah, thanks. That was really good. Very interesting.
And that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed hearing about parenthood from the other side, and maybe we all learned some skills that these two amazing fathers have up their sleeves. Thanks once again, Villa and Peter, for joining me here today and telling your stories to our listeners. Tune in next time when we're talking all about food, baby purees, baby-led weaning, toddler pickiness, do's and don'ts, and some fun restaurant stories. Have a nice week. Bye-bye.